Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nick Cattles will be hosting.
Oh, how about that?
Nick Cattles.
Yes.
Good. Glenn Ordway had no idea who I was when you brought my name.
No chance.
I think that's a safe bet for you.
Yes.
There's no shame in that.
Oh, there's no shame. Shame. He sold it. He sold it pretty well.
He probably doesn't know who I am for the most part. I mean, that's just Glenn. He's above us all.
Do you know who I am?
So last night, driving home from the Red Sox, I'm listening to Nick Cattles. My good friend Nick Cattles.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You know, I'm feeling pretty good today, Andy. I'm feeling pretty good.
Why? Because everybody knows you?
No.
I would actually like to know. I was off this week, so I wasn't listening to everything on the station. What came after Lou Merlone? Was it Angry Lou when he said, I was listening to my good buddy Nick Cattles? Was he reacting to one of your takes in an emotional way?
Yeah, I have no idea. That's actually
the
first time.
He was reacting to your Brad Stevens take on Late Night after a Celtics loss. I remember that.
Okay.
So that is this take that Brad Stevens is like Teflon and doesn't get any criticism ever?
No, because I didn't say that on Late Night. I got on Stevens for leaving Marcus Smart in the game with five fouls in the third quarter, if that was the take. And I also got on Stevens the other night for leaving Tatum in the game with foul trouble way too early. So I actually got on Stevens a little bit. But hey, listen, let's not be negative to start this show, Andy, because, I mean, look at yesterday. We had Cam via Zoom. We had the Red Sox. We had the Red Sox win last night. They're officially one game back of a playoff spot. And then we, speaking of the Celtics, had the Celtics beating the bag out of the Raptors last night down in Orlando. So I'm feeling pretty good on this Saturday. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I was feeling off for a week. Ill-prepared, but great. I'm sure most of those things you just said are true.
What does Andy Hart do when he has a week off?
He goes out on the boat. He sits on the beach. He drinks beer. Goes out to. I went out to eat twice this week for the first time since the pandemic hit.
Wow, how'd that go?
Outdoor both times. Two interesting experiences. One, they turned the restaurant into basically a takeout where you order and then they text you and then you go up to the window and get your food and go back to a table out on the patio area.
Right.
So that was fine.
The new normal.
I will say I think that hurts their profits because any other time I would have gotten multiple beers, but because I would have had to go back to the hostess desk and order a beer and process, like, I didn't. So I think it hurts their profits. That's my, just a little advice as a businessman. And then the second one last night, I may be a newbie to this because, you know, I don't go out a lot. I thought it was really cool. They had a QR code on the table. Does everybody know what that is?
I've seen that thingy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just hold your camera over it.
Yep.
And the menu pops up on your phone.
Yep.
Which probably happens everywhere, but I was like, hey, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's one of those things that restaurants do now. I actually like it. Sometimes I can't get the code up on my phone. There's a problem with my phone, but it's a good idea.
It's a very good idea. Because I know some places do like paper menus that they then have to throw out or whatever. Right. Yep. So I liked it. My kids thought it was cool. I thought it was equally as cool. So I had two good meals out. I'm ready to rejoin the real world and start eating out again.
All right. So Andy was out last night enjoying a meal. I was at home watching the Celtics and the Red Sox playing some darts with the wife.
Oh, look at me. I prepared. Ooh,
No.
You're a big darts guy, Cattles.
I'm a big darts guy during a pandemic. I've got darts and a shuffleboard in my living room. So, hey, it's
shuffleboard?
Right there. Yeah.
What's shuffle? Is that the thing you slide?
Yes.
What are you,
with the sand? Is there sand on it?
What did you say, Eamon?
What, are you like an 80-year-old man?
No, he actually lives in an assisted living facility.
It's not like one of those shuffleboards, you dink. It's one of those shuffleboards that Andy's talking about. If you've ever gone to like a brewery that has one, bar. Yeah. So I have one of those in my living room.
I wouldn't put one in my living room.
Ah, hey, you know, it is what it is.
Wait, are you married? Do you have kids?
I'm married. I don't have kids.
Okay.
So if I had kids, I probably would not have it in the living room.
I was going to say,
so,
I think the shuffleboard's got to go.
Yeah, so I got the shuffleboard, the dartboard. I got my two fridges full of beer. So I was ripping
it. So you live in a frat house, actually. And your wife allows this.
Yeah, she does.
She sounds cool.
Yeah, she sounds sick.
Pretty good, right? Anyway, let's get to Cam Newton. Let's start there, Andy, because yesterday, as I said, Cam happened. And here was Cam yesterday on his impressions of New England so far.
Following up such a powerful dynasty with that is enriched in so much prestige, lineage of success, that, you know, for me, a lot of people would hide from the notion to do certain things. But for me, man, I think this opportunity is something that I wake up pinching myself each and every day, and it's so surreal, you know, coming down one Patriot Place each and every day, and you know, seeing the whole ambiance. It's not only that, but seeing so much support around the city of Boston and Foxborough, and you know, it's just such a great environment, you know, for not only myself, but you know, players included. And it's just crazy. I just found myself putting on, you know, shirts that's like, oh my God.
Andy Hart, Nick Cattles here, Saturday Morning Sports Radio WEEI. A surreal moment for Cam. I don't know how much you buy into that, Andy, and how excited he truly is, but overall, what was your first impression media-wise from Cam yesterday?
Well, first impression, I thought he did a pretty good job.
I agree.
I don't think he was pushed really on anything or overly pressed on anything, and I do think there is a benefit if you're a player or a coach to the Zoom setup here, the Zoom session. It's not the same as a room full of 40, you know. Cam Newton's first press conference in the real media workroom at Gillette Stadium would have been, you know, 40 cameras, 35 cameras, you know, 40 reporters, standing room only. It would have been chaotic. It would have been questions from every direction. Now it's very simple. He looks at a screen. He gets queued up by the media relations. Next up, we have Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. And there's very simple back and forth to it. There's more control. So I thought he did a good job in an environment that is beneficial to him. But the quote we just played, my first reaction, 10,000 feet, is organizationally.
Yeah.
You have a superstar. This is a superstar. Make no doubts about it. He won an NFL MVP, and he has the aura of a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, he's known across this country. He's known across most of this world, I would think, that, you know, Cam is, he's a polarizing guy. He's an interesting guy. He's compelling, fascinating. So absolutely, yes, I would say he's a superstar.
Is pulling into Gillette Stadium in little old Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Pinching himself, getting tingly, getting the feels, as the kids say.
Yeah.
20 years ago, the feels at Foxborough was feeling for your phone to call your agent saying, I'm playing where?
Yeah.
This high school dump hole of a stadium where the weight room is also the freaking media room where, you know, the visitor's locker room doesn't exist and guys hated this place. I mean, how far the organization, this is more of like a Celtics press conference where the guy talks about, oh, you look up to those rafters and those banners and the history of this organization that was built over decades and decades and multiple superstars. Now it's 20 years. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady has created the environment where you have a superstar getting tingly because he's putting on a Patriots logo, a Patriots shirt.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side of that is I thought this was all mildly ridiculous because of all the questions about how are you fitting in with Bill Belichick and how are you fitting in with the offense? And I give Cam credit. He said, I've been here like hours. I've been here like a week.
It's like you're a week in, barely a week in, because
part of the week was like COVID testing and getting screened to make sure you were actually okay to interact with other people. So sort of those takeaways of, you know, how you're getting along and all that, the playbook and blah, blah. But my biggest takeaway was that you have a true superstar who is now acknowledging that you have one of the great organizations in sports and you have one of the great short-term, but histories. Because for a lot of years, they were, remember the Sullivan family, laughingstocks, and, you know, stars would get run out of town in contract disputes and those type. Now you have a superstar pinching himself because he's putting on a Patriots t-shirt.
Yeah, and we talk about the energy of Cam, in the positivity. It's kind of funny, Andy, we've talked about this before on the show, where when people think of Cam, sometimes they think of him as sulking, and they think of him not diving for the football, because as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, that's polarizing. He's kind of a polarizing guy. But overall, if you look at Cam throughout his NFL career, the vast majority of the time he's on the field and off the field is that actually good energy, that positive energy. And I think, you know, just looking at what he had to say yesterday and the mood that he had yesterday and the idea that you're talking about, he pulls up to Gillette Stadium. He's in Foxborough where, you know, 20 years ago, oh, here we go, Foxborough. What is Foxborough? Well, he's the kind of guy that embraces things. He does. And if he's going to buy in, he's all in. He embraces it. So we look at Brady leaving New England, going to Tampa, and how different that is after 20 years. It's similar for Cam. Let's not forget, he's been in Carolina for almost a decade. And in Carolina, they do have a rabid fan base, football-wise down there. They do. But when you look at New England, it is a different feel. It's a different history. And just coming off of a dynasty for the past two decades, this is something new for Cam. And I think a guy that tries to be positive and has that energy and embraces things, I think he's looking at this saying, wow, I really can't believe it. Like, I actually believe he was being honest yesterday when he said, I had to pinch myself, because this is somebody who, you know, he wants to win. You know, what's it? Find a good loser and you've got yourself a loser, whatever he said. I mean, he wants to win. And for the past 20 years, at least, that's what this organization has stood for, winning. And I think that idea, the essence of that, gets him excited.
Yeah, no question. I think the two, you know, tie-ins are Bill Belichick, the Patriots. They love football, obviously.
Right.
You know, when you're a football team, you love football. Bill
Belichick. You mentioned that yesterday.
Yep. Bill Belichick is, you know, coming up on 70. Why is he still doing this? Because he loves to do it. He doesn't have to. He's got all the money in the Nantucket real estate in the world, and he could go fish with Jimmy Johnson down in Florida. Do whatever he wanted.
He's got a great dog.
Got a great dog. Swoosh dog. He loves football. And this is where I always get into it. And a lot of players talk about this. I know Matt Light used to talk about this. I don't know if Belichick and Cam Newton love to win or hate to lose. I definitely, I think Cam Newton is one that hates to lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, it manifests itself in probably inappropriate ways if you're a parent or you're trying to teach people sportsmanship and how to react to adversity and the realities of life. And football is like life, as my old coach used to say, and you get knocked down, you got to get back up. Well, Cam gets knocked down and he sulks for a minute, then he gets back up and he hates to lose. And I think that's where, even in his discussions here about Tom Brady and the elephant in the room and replacing Tom Brady, he doesn't really think about replacing Tom Brady. He thinks about, I'm Cam damn Newton. I'm an MVP. When I do my thing, I don't care about Tom Brady, because when I do my thing, my thing's pretty damn good.
And Andy, that's something that we talked about, right? You go back 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you and I were talking about this, and we were saying that there's only a select few people that can walk into the room and be confident after Brady just left the room. That's a very difficult thing to do. Maybe Jarrett Stidham is that kind of guy. I don't know him well enough, but I sure as hell know Cam well enough, watching him the past almost decade and even going back to his college days. This dude is confident. Some people would say cocky. He's somewhat brash. He's got that personality that takes over a room. And he's somebody that he's not afraid. He's not afraid of the storyline of him replacing the greatest of all time. He's ready because, again, as you said, he's not looking at it as far as Brady and what he did. He's looking at it like, wait a minute, I'm Cam, and I'm damn good at what I do. So instead of worrying about what Brady did, get ready for what I'm going to do in 2020.
And when he knows that he can't replicate Tom Brady. They're just polar opposites
in
so many ways.
Yep.
But what he looks at is, yeah, Brady can read the defense, thread the needle, make the play. I can make the pass rusher miss, scramble, stiff arm a guy that weighs 280 and throw a bomb down the sideline in N'Keal Harry for a touchdown. Looks different and results the same. New England Patriots win. Bill Belichick smiles. We move on. And I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm not 100% sold that Cam's going to be great and the offense is going to be great and any of that.
Right.
I'm not sold that we will be talking in November about how well he's doing handling the media or press conferences. But what I am sold on is Cam Newton believes Yep. Cam Newton is the man, is right, the guy yeah. to do the job.
Yeah,
it may not work. It may right. fail. It may fall on its face. We may have sulky Cam. We may have Cam coming to press conferences, you know, rolling his eyes when somebody asks him a question. I don't know where that goes. But for the here and for the now, he believes he is the man. I don't know, as you say, whether Stidham does believe that. If he can say it, it doesn't mean he believes it.
Right.
And we're not stiddy.
Steady.
You know, we're not guaranteeing anything. All we're saying is, you know, Cam has that, you know, belief in himself. And that is something that when you look at trying to replace, even if Cam's not looking at replacing Brady, he's more looking at it like, well, New England, get ready for me. And Josh McDaniels, you got a dog. You can call different things, you know, when you've got me as the quarterback. But, you know, for us outside looking in, looking at who could have replaced Brady, Cam does have that confidence. Andy Hart, Nick Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI on Saturday morning. Let's hear more from Cam.
Hey, Cam.
Cam.
Oh. Cam. Oh, he's late already.
You know, amazing just to be around, you know, these guys and trying to understand as much as possible, like I said, in this short period of time. And, yeah, that's what he said. First time I called him, you know, we were both excited just to be on the phone with each other. Then all of a sudden he just said, hey, bro, this explicit is calculus. And he said it, and it was just, you know, funny. It was just from that whole 15-minute conversation, that's the only thing that I just remember, calculus. So, you know, at the end of the day, football is still football. And, you know, you just can't make too much on it than what it already is. You know, Josh has been there every step of the way, as well as Coach Jed, and, you know, just been hammering away. You know, all the quarterbacks have been trying to learn this whole, you know, system from what it is worth. And, you know, we've been assisting each other on that as well.
And he's talking about Julian Edelman and a phone call they had when he first signed with the Patriots. I don't know if anybody says expletive during conversations. Do you, when you talk about people on the phone and they said something and they swore, do you say, oh, I was talking to Timmy the other day and Timmy said, oh, that expletive is junk.
Nope. This explicit is calculus.
I'm pretty sure Edelman did not say this explicit is calculus. You know,
I didn't even know what he meant when he said that. I think you cleared it up, but I was confused. There was a couple times.
You know, at the end of the day, football is still football.
Yes. I agree with you on Cam that.
This bleep is calculus. So when you're looking at it, Andy, you know, my major takeaway from yesterday, and again, listen, he's been here for 1 week. It is a honeymoon phase. It's set up for him to succeed.
All he's doing is like stretching and jogging on the field.
Right. And everything's going to be positive and everything's going to be great and rose-colored glasses and all of that. But what I did take away so far is that Cam is willing to play ball with the Patriots approach when you talk about the media. You go back to when he landed at Logan and, you know, the cameras are on him. He doesn't really say anything. He's, you know, I'm just focused, whatever, blah, 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 and then just keeps walking and gets out of there. And then yesterday, he was asked a number of questions where I thought, whether it was about his end in Carolina or something else, he was given some bait where he could have jumped in on something and he could have went into the Cam business. But for the most part, he didn't. You know, so you look at the Zoom stuff yesterday, you look at the airport interview, and so far, again, it's really, really early, but we've got to evaluate what we have so far, right? So far, Cam seems like he gets it. He says just enough. He's going to be personable. He's going to be charismatic. He's going to flash that smile. He's going to be respectful, but he's not going to give you too much, at least so far during his tenure.
He's also going to be wearing whatever he was wearing yesterday, which was a flowery topped
kind of
shirt.
A grandmother look. Kind
and then
of a
I
grandmother
couldn't tell
look.
Whether yeah. he had a blue towel over the top of his head or if it was actually some sort of grandmother shawl, just had my hair done.
I think
done.
It was a grandmother shawl
okay.
kind of thing.
It was a fine silk scarf.
It could have been. Because usually the towels at a football facility are white.
And he's known for that as well on the field.
Yeah, so it wasn't
was
one of those.
Like a shawl.
No, I think this was, he purchased this. This was fashion related. This wasn't straight out of the training room or the equipment room at Gillette Stadium. So he brought a little taste of Cam to the Cam yesterday. But I agree with you. There were opportunities where he could have been a little, and I actually think it was misreported. I was watching it. They asked him about Carolina, the way it ended, and motivation. And he said, I'm the kind of guy that wakes up mad every day.
Right.
Not in relation to Carolina got rid of me and I spent 86 days unemployed, just in general. I'm motivated. I wake up mad with something to prove.
He's even a self-motivated tied it to his, guy.
Yes. He even tied it to his kids. I wake up mad. I can't see my kids sometimes. I can't. Like, and I saw, you know, you get these, like, notifications on your phone because you follow these random, I don't know whether it was Bleacher Report or, and it was like, Cam Newton, I wake up mad after Carolina exit. And I'm like, no, that's not what he said. You're trying to make it sound like, you know, he's Randy Moss when draft went by and he was listing all the teams that passed on him. This was more of a general, I'm self-motivated, I wake up mad. I think Tom Brady has actually said the same thing to some degree. Like, I wake up motivated. I wake up ready to prove the world wrong, whatever. So I thought that was misrepresented. And I agree with you. In general, he wasn't willing to take the bait because, in part, it benefits him not to. He knows Bill will get mad. He, even if he hasn't been told or had any direct commentary from Bill on that, he's seen the Patriots for a decade. He's seen what they do, the way they handle business.
Right.
And he's also seen, if I come here after 86 days of unemployment, play their game, either I'm the Patriots quarterback for the next 5 to 8 years, making a lot of money, or there's a chance I have a good season and make a lot of money somewhere else. It only benefits him to, you know, fall in line with the rules of the Patriot way, because the Patriot way has made people money.
Yeah, to put it simple, you know, I've been asking this question the last week or so on Late Night, and I think you and I have hit it a little bit here and there on Saturday mornings, but everybody's questioning whether or not Cam's going to fit. And I believe he's going to fit. I don't believe he's going to fit because I'm optimistic and, oh, everything's great and all that. I believe he's going to fit because that's really his only choice.
Right.
He was, nobody else was interested in him. The Browns gave him a phone call, but nobody was willing to bring him in. The Patriots, you could say, saved his ass this year. He had nowhere to go. There was no quarterback competition waiting for him. And he knows if he's going to try to make that bank after this season is over, if he's going to walk into free agency and make that kind of money and be a franchise quarterback, or if he gets franchised by the Patriots or they extend him, whatever the scenario is that plays out, if it's a positive, optimistic scenario for Cam, it's because he walked into New England and he did things right. He said the right things. He did the right things on and off the field. And because of that, he fit in and everything worked.
And if you go the opposite route and you just say, you know, I'm Cam, so I do what I want, I say what I want, I act how I want, well, that's going to hurt you in the eyes of others. Oh, he wasn't willing to play Belichick's game. Belichick, a guy who goes to the postseason every year. Belichick, the guy who puts people in position to succeed, not fail, maximize his strengths. He wasn't willing to play ball with Belichick. What's he going to do for my coach? If I'm a GM and my coach is some younger guy, he's going to try to walk all over him. He's not going to do what my coach is. So if he doesn't respect Belichick and respect the opportunity that Belichick's team gives him, how's he going to respect the opportunity that I want to give him a year from now? So it only makes business sense, football sense, personal sense for Cam. And he can mix in. I mean, we've seen it enough around here. You're not kept from having a personality. Rob Gronkowski proved that. And you know what? Cam's personality, just like Gronk's would, when did Gronk's personality bubble up? Generally, it was when he was healthy and catching 3 touchdowns in a game. Cam's personality will bubble up when they're 2-1 and they just upset either the Chiefs or the Seahawks and he had, you know, 2 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. He'll feel himself a little bit. He'll have a little Cam that comes out in that post-game fifth quarter.
You're getting a dog.
Getting a dog. And when the dog barks and bites, he's going to bark, right? Like, enjoy it. But for the here and for the now, he has a month to win the starting job and secure his future. And that's what he's focused on, I think.
Yeah, and of course, the biggest challenge for him is when competition begins, like you're talking about, and then the heat of the season if he is healthy and he gets the gig. Well, that's when we'll truly figure out how he's going to handle himself here. When things go bad, when things go good. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. You can follow me, Nick Cattles, on Twitter as well at Nick C Radio. Your thoughts on Cam Newton so far, first week in, pretty much, as a Patriot. 617-779-7937. We'll get your reaction on what Cam had to say yesterday. Also coming up next, I want to dig deeper into the Bill Belichick-Cam Newton relationship and what to expect this upcoming season. It's Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday morning.
A little taste of Cam to the Cam yesterday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to Hardin Cattles on EEI.
You mentioned the reaction when your agent called and said the Patriots are interested, and you said, me and Belichick? How's that going to mesh? How would you describe how it's meshing to this?
Listen, there's a lot of things that I'll just say that there's a perception, but at the end of the day, you know, it's football. I've loved it ever since I've been here. You know, I've been here going on a week now. And, you know, you hear rumors about certain things, but, you know, once you finally get settled in on things like that, you know, none of that really matters. It's just all about, you know, finding a way to prove your worth on a team.
It's still really, really early.
It's so ridiculous.
There's a perception, but now I know the reality because I've been here. I've been here at least 90-100 hours already. Woo!
Yeah. Andy, let me ask you this. Do you think that Cam, if he was asked this question, let's say he's starting, he's healthy, everything's going relatively okay, but he has a bad Sunday, and they're in the film room that week, and Belichick is laying into Cam Newton. Do you think Cam is going to be like, it was only a perception thing? Or do you think Cam's going to sit back and go, wait a minute, this guy's absolutely coming after me. What in the world's going on here?
That's going to be interesting because there is... I've heard stories out of Carolina. It was kid gloves with Cam.
Yes, kid gloves. And Kyle Love talked about it this week to the Herald. Andrew Callahan.
He ain't getting kid gloves in New England.
No.
And if he does, that's bad news because that means Bill Belichick has changed just for him, and that will not resonate well with the rest of the team.
So I don't know because I think, you know, kid gloves. Yes, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be patting Cam on the ass every single second and making sure that he's okay and the world is beautiful for Cam. But, you know, Belichick has gone out of his way to give special treatment to certain players.
Sure.
And if Cam is producing for the most part, then I do think Belichick could handle him a little bit differently. I think not in film sessions.
I'm talking about a ball that sails over the middle. Bill's going to say, who the F was that throw to?
Right.
And I don't know how many times Cam has gotten that.
I agree with you. But, like, if we look back at... You know, Belichick's relationship with Lawrence Maroney, for example, was very interesting. People wanted to throw Maroney out, and he was done. He was a bust. Belichick, every single week, would pull him aside and have their own kind of personal film session because Bill believed in him, and Belichick also thought that Maroney needed to be treated a little bit differently. He needed to be coached differently, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. When you're a coach or a manager, especially in 2020, you know, you've got to manage personalities. That's one of the most important parts of the job. So film session, yeah, he might get after Cam. He might not get after Cam as much as he did Brady because he knows Cam might not receive it as well as Brady did. But I think it's a little lazy to say, oh, well, Belichick treats everybody the same. It's across the board. That's crap. Right, that he doesn't treat everybody the same.
First of all, I'm not sure there's any coach on the planet, any good coach that treats everybody the same.
Right.
You can't. That's not how it works. As you said, you're not just coaching players. You're coaching personalities. You're coaching personal situations. You know, if you're a coach and don't understand, well, that guy's going through a divorce. He hasn't seen his kids in 6 weeks or whatever. Like, if you don't acknowledge that these are human beings that have outside worlds, you're done for. Because you won't have the respect inside your locker room. And I do believe, forget about do we have fun in New England or this and that. I firmly believe pretty much every guy that's ever come through that locker room respects Bill Belichick. Mm. Doesn't always end great. You know, Coney Ealy might not fit in and he's out of here quick. Or Michael Bennett might not fit in and he's out of here quickly. But I think they respect Bill Belichick and the approach he takes. We'll see if it works. But I do think in the film room, it would be disingenuous if Bill doesn't go after Cam. Because I think others will note he can't.
Yeah, and then the other guys in that film room will say, wait a minute, Bill. Like, you know, we were here when Brady was here and you used to crush him.
Right.
And now you're taking it easy on Cam.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a little strange.
Yeah, and individually, I mean, if I'm N'Keal Harry and I'm getting chewed out because I, you know, was a yard deep on my comeback or something like that. And then the very next throw is some horrific read by Cam, a horrific throw. And it's like, Cam, let's try to be better next time, buddy. Okay, let's try to be better. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Or he throws a god awful pick and that play isn't in the film session. It's scrubbed from history.
Or like he throws a hospital ball that gets Edelman's head taken off and it's like, Cam, wait a minute, Cam, that was actually a good throw. Edelman was way too far ahead on that slant. He was running way too fast for you. That's not fair to you. If it's anything like that, that would ruin the team. But it won't be like that. It's going to be, Cam, where the F was that ball going?
Right, but see, where I do agree with Cam is we tend to get wrapped up into the perception and also expectations where, okay, where are your expectations for this individual? What is your perception of that individual's personality and how he will handle things? We tend to get wrapped up into that, and I think that's something that Cam and Belichick, they share a brain on, right? If you look at Belichick, the outside world gets on Belichick for being a curmudgeon. He doesn't know how to have fun, as you just mentioned. Right. Belichick knows that's crap. He's not going to feed into that perception, but he knows it's crap. And in his brain, he looks at it and says, yeah, I'm not worried about the outside noise. I'm not worried about what people think of me. Cam's the same way. You know, Cam has a certain perception of him from certain people. And, you know, they believe that he's cocky and he's selfish and he's not a good teammate. And we took a call a couple of weeks ago from somebody calling him a head case, a cancer, which is just ridiculous. He's not that kind of a teammate. He's not that kind of a guy in the locker room, according to pretty much everybody that's dealt with him personally. But Cam can also look at it with his brain and say, that outside noise is just that. It's noise. And if these guys can agree on one thing, it's the love of football and making sure that they're focused on that and they're going to be evaluated on that and not worry about everything else and all the outside forces.
And I'm also a big believer in butterfly effect, and these are personalities. So, you know, the first phone call Bill Belichick has with Cam Newton leads to the second, leads to the meeting, and they build a relationship. Just like you and I are not going to have the same relationship as my previous co-host or the co-host before that or anybody else. We have a personal interaction that plays off of each other, and Cam's not going to have the same relationship with Bill Belichick that he had with Ron Rivera or Gus Malzahn or anybody else. It's going to develop based on their personalities and their individual experiences together and how they react and sort of feed off of each other. And I do think there's a respect there. I mean, we know Cam has to respect Bill, and I certainly think Bill has a respect level for Cam because
You go back to his comments in 2017 as a football player. I mean, and he does that, guys like Ed Reed and all of that. When he goes out of his way to throw verbal bouquets at a player, he's not doing it just to do it most of the time. As far as he went with Cam, he went far with Cam.
So they start with a level of mutual admiration and respect that then will lead into personal experiences, and there'll be hurdles and there'll be arguments, and Cam will throw a pick and he may sulk and Bill react, but like they'll go through that together. I think the problem is when you start with like no respect. Like if he walks in this door and he's like, I don't know how that guy got the job. Like I'll be here longer than he, any of that type of stuff. that's where you start to go down a road that's troublesome. But when they start from respect, now that just allows them to build towards the field. Then once they get on the field, then we'll get to see. The scoreboard will tell the results from there on. Are they being successful? Is it working? Are they executing? But I think they have the mutual respect to get to that point.
You know, when you look at, again, it sounds cliche, but it's so true, the love of football. If Belichick looks at Cam and he knows already from the outside that football seems to be pretty important to the guy because of how he usually plays the vast majority of the time. I mean, we can fall in love with the one play during the Super Bowl when he didn't dive on the loose football.
Right.
But when you watch Cam play, he's running through linebackers and defensive ends. And the guy loves what he does. There's just no way you can look at it differently. If Belichick, I believe this, and maybe you disagree or maybe you agree with me, Belichick looks at Cam, if he knows and understands that Cam, he has that love of football, and that's the most important thing to him, then I think Belichick will give him some latitude. He will give him a break or two. Not in the film room, but he'll say, okay, what did Cam say to the media, for example? All right, well, he said that because he's just pissed, because he lost.
Right.
And he'll understand Cam's intentions on a day-to-day basis where we can't. You know, you get a glimpse during media sessions. Belichick is with Cam every single day of the week. And if Belichick understands that Cam's number one priority is football and that he just wants to win or, as you said, hates to lose, then I think Belichick is going to be less bothered by maybe Cam doing something that is not seen as, quote-unquote, the Patriot way.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
That probably would have seemed blasphemous to many not that long ago.
Blasphemous. Okay.
Who is more all in or motivated to be the Patriots quarterback and successfully be the Patriots quarterback? Bill Belichick's current presumed starter or his previous starter?
Oh, at this point, I think it's Cam.
Yeah, because Tom Brady, there were some mixed motivations or distractions.
OTAs, and lack of trust with teammates and questioning the personnel in his own way and asking, you know, pretty much what are we doing here and telling Michelle Tafoya at 8-0 that he's not happy.
Yeah. So you had one guy who was, I think Bill was questioning, and, you know, this has been around for a while now, and I think Lombardi posted it, but it was an old Bill Parcells, like, bullet points of what you're looking for in a quarterback, and one of them is no diva quarterback. You don't want a quarterback who's a diva.
Right.
And I think Bill Belichick had a diva quarterback the last couple of years who was, we've talked about this, sort of an emotional drain or strain on the team at times, who was moping around the locker room and had maybe some conflicted focus. You know, was he focused on Tom Brady and Tom Brady's future and Tom Brady's contract extension and the respect and just being appreciated and all these things we've heard? Or was he focused on doing the damn job for the Patriots? Doing his job as well as could be expected for the Patriots and doing everything necessary to do it for the Patriots. I think Cam Newton is all in on that because Cam Newton has no other options. Like, it's
right.
And I'm not, they're too.
He's got everything to lose if this goes wrong.
Tom Brady had nothing to lose because Tom Brady was going to land with another team or do whatever the hell or ride off into the sunset as the greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady had all the cards, all the chips were in his hand, right? And Cam doesn't. And I think that's the classic Belichickian addition. It, you know, he's never done it at quarterback, obviously, but over the years he's brought in so many guys that needed to succeed with the Patriots for whatever reason, and he's found, like, he took Corey Dillon and said, I'll take you. You want to go to a Super Bowl? You need to work to help take us to a Super Bowl, but we can get there together, right?
Yeah.
And through the years there's been a boatload of those guys in various details of their situations. Cam's the latest. He now has as motivated a quarterback as he's had in probably a decade. I don't know where Brady started to have maybe some mixed motivations. Maybe it's TB12 and whenever that started to become a business and a focus. Early in his career, Tom Brady was probably the most motivated quarterback on the planet because he was bawling his eyes out about going in the sixth round and all those things, right? He's got the new version of that. Maybe a more talented, physically talented, more, you know, version of that with the gifts that Cam has. I think Bill's loving this opportunity with Cam Newton. I think he absolutely loves it.
I agree. And I think Cam is looking at this saying, if
sound
I
sound like homers, by the way.
No, we don't.
Homer Radio, W-E-E-I.
No.
Honk Radio.
Why is it Honk Radio?
It's got Fitzy in here.
If we're optimistic, God forbid. We criticize enough. I mean, it's not Honk Radio because we're optimistic. When you look at Cam again, you know, going into this season, everything is riding on him doing it right. And the perception of him, his reputation, financially, everything. He stands to gain on everything if he does it right. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. 37937 is the text line. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. You can follow me at Nick C Radio. More coming up on the Patriots. Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
More sports talk nonstop. This is Hart and Cattles on EEI.
Hey, Cam. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've had right shoulder surgery twice in recent years. I'm just wondering, how is your shoulder feeling when you guys get to those 2 weeks of practices that all you're going to get before the season? Are there any restrictions on you? Like, are you going to need maintenance days or anything as far as your shoulder? Or are you good to go?
At this particular point in time, sir, I'm full go.
At this particular time, sir, I'm a full go.
Sweet. On August 7th, during walkthroughs, he is good to go. He can take a snap and then pretend to run a play. Woo-hoo!
I feel great when I'm in T-shirt and jogging pants. I'm feeling awesome.
At this particular point in time, sir, I'm full go.
Very respectful, though, sir.
Sir. Yes. Hey, sir.
To
hello,
Greg
sir.
Bedard.
If only
sir.
He knew.
Yeah. You'll drop that soon.
At this particular time, I'm feeling pretty good. I hope so, because if you weren't feeling good right now, then things are going to go very, very bad for you, Cam.
Right. And he made it in another answer. He actually acknowledged that. He said, I'm a lot like everybody else probably in that locker room. We haven't, you know, we're jogging around in shorts. We should all feel really, really good right now because we haven't been beaten or hit in any way. But, I mean, I have to assume he's okay, right? I have to assume.
Yeah. I mean,
that, like, am I to think that he can't throw the football?
No, all the reports. And so far, you know, I saw Mike Giardi tweet about this a week or two ago, saying that, you know, guys that are practicing with Cam and working out with Cam, that he has zip on the football. So it doesn't seem like the shoulder is a huge issue right now. And I don't think the shoulder was a big problem last year. You know, it ended up being the foot.
Yeah.
And we got to look at this, you know, objectively, Andy. A lot of people
do
get
I have to take
up.
Off my Patriots jammies?
No, pajamas. You don't have Pat's PJs.
My sunglasses. I got the.
Oh, there's the honk horn. There it is. But when you look at it objectively, Carolina completely mismanaged and mishandled their franchise quarterback, their premier asset. They just mismanaged it to the point where, you know, there had to be some doubts at some point, no matter how confident Cam is or not. There had to be some doubts from him. Hey, am I doing the right thing? Or should I be playing? What's going on here? When you look back at the beginning of 2018, the first half of 2018, dude was playing great football, the best football he's played from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets hurt. And for some stupid reason, Carolina kept putting him out there. They kept letting him play. An outrageous decision by them. Then he gets hurt against the Patriots in the preseason last year. And again, Carolina allows him to go out there limping through a couple of games. So if you look at it and you say he had pretty much all of last year to recover, and he's had the surgeries and he's been rehabbing. We see the Instagram videos. He's obviously working his ass off to try to get back. And you read the Mike Giardi tweet, and I've read some other columns from doctors and other writers saying, hey, listen, the injuries that he had, they're not the end of the world. He should be able to come back. I have a lot more doubt about Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh saying that he tore three flexor tendons in his throwing arm this week than I have concern about Cam. So I do think we go into this year, I feel like he's going to be healthy. Now, is he going to be Cam of, 2015? No. And I think if we have those kinds of expectations, they would be unreasonable. But is he going to be healthy enough to play football? From what I read and what I've heard, yes, he's going to be healthy enough.
I would agree 100%, and he said he's 100% for what he needs to do right now on
right
August
now.
7th,
yep.
which is yep. a Zoom call with the media. I will say I found it, Bill being typical Bill, when Belichick was asked about Cam on the football field, was, let's just say, curious the way he answered.
Yeah, well, again, the coaches aren't on the field for the training part of the program, so I couldn't really comment on that. That our strength coaches supervise that. The walkthroughs are the walkthroughs. They're walkthroughs.
So Bill couldn't comment on how healthy and prepared Cam is to run the offense. That's
walkthroughs well, because he hasn't walkthroughs. Seen they're walkthroughs.
If I take him at his word, that's mildly alarming.
See, I don't know.
I don't know
alarming.
If he can throw. Ask the trainer. He's the one out there when he's throwing.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Belichick could be throwing out some gamesmanship out there? And if he can, we know Bill, right? He's very secretive. The shroud of mystery around injuries. I would not put it past Bill if early on, especially, he's kind of floating things out there and saying, I haven't seen a lot of them, and we're gonna have to see him on the football field. And he might be trying to sow some doubt in the minds of the opposition right now. So people might think that, maybe Cam's behind the eight ball. When in reality, Bill might know that he's perfectly healthy, but he's not going to go out there and pump his tires during the walkthroughs. And he's not going to tell all the competition across the league, this guy's 100%. He looks like he's 2018 first half Cam. He looks like 2015 Cam. I don't think Belichick would say that, even if he believed it and saw it with his own eyes.
I'm going to sit here and try to, Ouija board it here this morning.
What was the line from Shawshank? What did he accuse him of being intentionally obtuse? I think he was being intentionally obtuse there. And I wouldn't know. I'm out there for walkthroughs. You think I'm not allowed to?
All rules. Coaches coach and players played.
He's not a doctor. Have you ever heard it? He's not a doctor.
I'm not, just so you know.
He's also not a trainer or a strength coach, so he's not allowed out there when Cam's doing physical things.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
So just when he's doing mental things for him.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he didn't watch Cam at all this week.
No.
I'm sure he has no idea what Cam...
Been asleep at the wheel for 20 years. It's one of the remarkable aspects of the Patriot dynasty. Bill has been asleep at the wheel, and yet they've still succeeded. He has no idea whether Cam can throw.
Here's another thing, Andy, about, Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI. Here's another thing about, Cam and his health and what people are expecting from him. We can't expect Cam to play the same way he did in 2015. I'm not talking about production-wise. I'm not talking about health-wise. I'm talking about style of play. At some point, Cam cannot continue to do what he was doing years ago. Age is going to work against that. The multitude of injuries that he's had is going to work against that. When you start accumulating injuries, you have to adjust and adapt. You've got to learn that running through defensive ends and linebackers is not going to do you any good now that you're in your 30s. So I actually think that the Patriots, they're not going to run Cam as much. He's not going to run the football 12 times, 13, 14, 15 times. This is not going to be Lamar Jackson last year running for 1,200. That's not what they're going to do. The question I have, though, is whether or not Cam is going to be able to change his style of play. Because saying it is one thing, doing it is another. And, we know players, they can. And if Cam sees some pressure, he's going to want to break contain. He's going to want to run with the football. Can Cam actually adjust, and can he not take the big hits a la Brady? Can he get down when he has to slide? Those are more the questions, because I think the Patriots, schematically, they're not going to ask him to run the football nearly as much. But is Cam organically going to put himself in those kinds of situations?
I think the point you're making is in general the correct one. The thing I would say with Cam, I actually think he's taken more wear and tear in his career in the pocket and moving in the pocket. Yes.
He's been crushed.
To the point where, remember, it was a legitimate question as to, are they just not calling it because he's big and it's okay if you hit a guy late big or whatever. He doesn't get the protections of a Manning or a Brady.
Yep.
And that when he runs, and we even talked to Chudzinski, his first offensive coordinator, is now at BC, and he talked about that he always felt that Cam, you know, the old cliche, are you the hammer, are you the nail? He was the hammer when he runs, and at times he's the nail when he throws. And I think some of that is, and I don't want to be disrespectful here, he's never going to be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, I don't think, in terms of pre-snap reads and knowing exactly what's coming at all times from all angles. So sometimes when you hesitate or when you're a step slow on a read in the pocket and you're trying to be a pocket passer, we see it so many times with these guys. Run, run, run. Oh, he's getting to that point in his career. He needs to be a pocket passer. Oh, he's holding on to the ball. He's taking hits. Maybe he should just run again. I think Cam has to find that happy medium, that balance in there somewhere. And he still needs to run. I still think he needs to have the threat of running.
Oh, I agree.
I think when he runs, because he is such a large human being who is so physically gifted, there's a lot of times where I kind of do like his matchups, quote unquote, with tacklers, where he can win those battles. And would I rather have him moving forward or being the aggressor or standing there and letting a guy like, I don't know, J.J. Watt just run through the number one on his back? Nope, I do not want to see that at all. So there's got to be a happy meet, because if he doesn't run at all, I don't think he's that good. I mean, that's part of his game that he needs to be productive in the National Football League.
And that's the reason why I framed it the way I framed it. He's not going to run 12 to 15 times, but he is absolutely going to run the football. And this is going to depend on Josh McDaniels, right? When to call it, against who to call it. Those kinds of things, the timing of these runs are going to be crucial, yes. And that's going to fall on McDaniels. Now, I'd also say, you know, when you look at situational football, Cam can do a lot of good things where the Patriots were not good in last year. I mean, you talk about inside the red zone, they weren't very good. Cam's ability, the dual threat quarterback stuff, the RPOs, the misdirection we're going to see, I think, in the backfield this year should open up the playbook and be better in the red zone. Also, goal line, because Cam's ability to run the football and his size. Also, third and fourth down and short. You look at those four areas, critical areas, red zone, goal line, third and fourth short yardage situations. The Patriots were not good in any of those last year. I think Cam walks in and immediately makes them better in all four categories because of what we're talking about.
As long as you get in those situations, get in the red zone often enough.
Oh,
get
of course.
In, you know,
got to get there.
Belichick's situational football, you're right. He's going to love some of the aspects that Cam brings to the situational football, but is all the other, you know, first down at the 25-yard line, first and 10, he needs to succeed in those situations as well. And he has. Like, I mean, this is a guy, and you even keep saying, you know, you're not going to get 2015 Cam Newton. Well, maybe not. Maybe you will. I mean, it's not that so far away. He's not that old. We need to remember, early 30s, not late. You talked about Roethlisberger.
Right.
Injuries are worse. Questions are, and older, right? He's late 30s. Cam is still theoretically in the modern NFL prime of a QB career here. And not that far removed from playing really good football, in 2018, but 2015, not like.
But
know,
I don't
light
think I don't
ago.
Think he has the body. I don't think he has the body of a 31-year-old, though, right? I
mean, he's a vegan now, though.
Well, he is vegan. When
I don't
we talk
know if that's
about,
good or bad, depends who you ask.
When we talk about, you know, Cam's age, yes, he's 31, so he's relatively young, speaking within the context of football. But when you look at him, we just talked about how many shots he has taken.
Yep.
I don't think he's a 31-year-old quarterback. But I think they will be able to figure out and find that happy medium. You know, the other question is the offensive line, of course. They've got to be good up front and protect him. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number, and that's more difficult to do without Marcus Cannon. The text number is 37937. Andy Hart on Twitter is at Jumbo Hart. Nick Cattles on Twitter. Yours truly at Nick C Radio. All right, we're going to put the Patriots to the side for a little while because the Celtics had a big-time win last night in the bubble. Andy and I, we want to talk about it. Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.